Blog Talk Radio.
My daddy taught me in this country everyone's the same. You work hard for your dollar and you never pass the blame when it don't go your way. Now I see all these big shots whining on my evening news about how they're losing billions and it's up to me and you to come running to the rescue. Well, pardon me if I don't shed a tear, 'cause they're still in make-believe and we don't.
Michelle Malkin, thank you so much for coming on today. I know it's a very hectic time for you, but I appreciate
my pleasure.
It's an honor. I've actually been trying to track you down for a while to get you on my show. You're very, obviously very tough to reach, but I thank you once again for carving out some time for myself and my audience. You are, of course, the best-selling author and author of Culture of Corruption most recently. It's now in paperback, actually, as well, for all those who want to go pick it up. I want to get right into it. I know we don't have that much time. Let's talk about the election. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow, and what do you think is going to be the result of the hangover on the 3rd?
Well, I think it's going to be a couple of days before some of these races are completely resolved, and particularly in the West Coast races. I'm in Colorado, and we've got a nail-biter in the Senate race between the GOP upstart Ken Buck and the Obama rubber stamper, Michael Bennett, the Democrat who was appointed to replace Ken Salazar when Ken Salazar went to the Department of Interior. There's another neck-and-neck race in Washington State between the entrenched incumbent, former mom in tennis shoes, Patty Murray, and the GOP challenger, Dino Rossi. I think the California races, obviously, are going to be very close as well. So it will be down to the wire, and it's going to be a long night Tuesday night, but it could be a couple of long more nights Wednesday, Thursday, could even be a week possibly. I think in general we're not going to know what the final turnover might be in the Senate until possibly next week. You know, there's been a lot of prognostications about how many seats the GOP will take in the House, but I think it's fairly clear that there is going to be a sweep, and we're going to get the kind of house cleaning that Nancy Pelosi promised but never delivered on.
Well, as she said a few years back, light is the best disinfectant, and finally some light has been shed on this corrupt administration and her lies and her spin. A lot of it thanks to your book and from others like Dinesh D'Souza, who I've also had on my show.
Mm-hmm.
tell us the vitriol and the slander that you've received since writing this book, because I know I've read Unhinged, and that really... that's how I really got to know who you are and started reading your blog and all that kind of stuff. And that was the first time I really realized, wow, this is really a disgusting world that we live in when people are wishing cancer on guys like Tony Snow, on yourself, Wanda Sykes, wishing that that Rush Limbaugh died, all these types of things. Tell us how the liberals have taken your most recent book.
Yeah, sure. Well, when they don't completely ignore it and discount it, of course, their modus operandi is to simply attack the messenger. And, I've had my fair share of death threats in the past. You've got the likes of the Soros-funded smear machine, going after not just me for blowing the whistle on Team Obama, but you know, pretty much every conservative author who or journalist who has unearthed the dirt, the corruption, the scandals that the mainstream media has strained to cover up over the last 2 years. But what's striking to me about the last 2 years have been the attacks on ordinary American citizens and everything that we saw flung and slung at the Tea Party movement we've seen before with regard to national conservative figures. You know, it's one thing for somebody who makes their living in the public square, who's a media figure or a political figure, to endure, withstand those kinds of attacks. It sort of comes with the territory. But when you have ordinary citizens who are simply exercising their right to free speech and to petition their government for a redress of grievances and to assemble in public places, when you have the entire Democrat media establishment going after them, demonizing them, painting them with a broad brush as racists, as stupid, as evil, as fear-mongers, there is really something wrong in the Beltway and something wrong in political discourse. And those kinds of attacks and smears were what really laid the groundwork for the Tea Party movement, the taxpayer insurgency. It's true that much of the discontent certainly and rightfully started under the Bush administration, and I was one of the most vocal in criticizing Bush for giving us the TARP banking bailout and the auto bailout. Much of the growth of government, of course, wouldn't have been possible without bipartisan aiding and abetting. But in so many ways, it really was the corruption stupid. To paraphrase Bill Clinton's, it's the economy stupid. And I'm gratified that that all the work and research I put into the book was actually useful to people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sent waves through because that was really the first book that that struck a chord with people. And obviously, Dinesh D'Souza's book most recently, like I said before, but there's been a whole bunch of them that finally there are, people are unearthing and starting to listen to. Wait, who is this Obama character? Because now they start to see the policies and they know that what he said to Joe the Plumber wasn't just a slip-up. That was the truth. That's what he meant because the teleprompter wasn't there. my personal feelings, like everybody else, everybody wants to give him a little bit of time, but I had a certain feeling about him and about the Democrats as a whole, and I'm seeing it more and more as they're becoming unhinged. Are you seeing any hanky-panky election-wise, you know, election fraud and things like that? Because I know in New York and Wisconsin and I believe Florida also, a bunch of people were arrested for committing voter fraud in Acorn once again. But do you see anything yet in the Washington race? Because Dino Rossi was robbed in the past. I know there's a couple things going down in Texas in the Sheila Jackson Lee District, Congressional District 18. Are you seeing anything else?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got this citizen core of watchdogs in Minnesota. A group called Minnesota Majority has put together an election integrity team. They're training citizens. People know that when they go to the polls that they should bring their cameras with them. And this comes at a time when there are still leftover prosecutions underway for voter fraud cases that happened in 2008. Implicating Democrats from 2 years ago. So the whole idea that the Soros machine is trying to push now, which is that there's no voter fraud whatsoever, that it's a figment of the conservative imagination, just shows you how to, out of touch with reality these people are. Of course, there have been dozens of felony convictions involving Acorn cases alone over the last couple of election cycles. And to me, again, what's striking are the attacks on the citizen watchdogs. I just blogged recently this afternoon about the Department of Justice, or as I call them, the Department of Social Justice, sending out some 400 federal observers to select states tomorrow to observe elections. And guess what? They're not going to be observing the new Black Panther Party in any sort of hostile way. After all, this is the same Department of Justice that did the bidding of the new Black Panther Party, who sends out thugs to poll stations dressed in militant garb, wielding billy clubs and hurling racial epithets at white voters and white poll workers. And so, you know, the question I asked on my website today is, who's watching the watchdogs? Who's watching Eric Holder's minions? Well, it's do-it-yourself. You know, it's up to ordinary citizens to do the policing that the Department of Social Justice won't do against all of these left-wing mobsters and tricksters.
Now, what's going on in the political world is so disgusting. You can see why so many people are turned off to it. But what do you think the turnout is going to be? I'm not even talking about who people are actually going to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think the turnout is going to be? Because there's some people that are saying, like, for example, in Connecticut, it's going to be about a 60% turnout, which is roughly what they had in 2002, 2006. In other parts of the country, some are really jazzed up, some are still complacent. But what do you think overall? Do you think it's going to be a massive turnout like the polls are indicating, or do you think that's something that's going to die down by tomorrow?
Oh, I think that the turnout may be, to borrow a favorite adjective of the White House, unprecedented. I think that the enthusiasm that the Tea Party movement has tapped into over the last 2 years will be sustained tomorrow, and there's a real sense that people are taking matters into their own hands. And we've seen that in many policy areas. Of course, a state like Arizona, where the governor took immigration enforcement into her own hands because the federal government had failed at its job. And then a sense of urgency, renewed urgency, among the grassroots. And, you know, you look at some of these national polls. Independents are swinging to the right now. The base of the Obama movement is abandoning him. And I don't think that you can interpret anything from this protest about nothing that Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert held over the weekend. You had a lot of fans of a TV show. Is that going to translate into votes for the Obama agenda? I certainly do not think so. But on my side of the aisle, of course, and among the Tea Party movement, all you have to do is look at the social networks, at Twitter, at Facebook, and look at the turnout of all of these Tea Parties, huge milestones in modern political history, whether it was the Tax Day Tea Party last year, the health care protests over the summer last summer, and then some of the 9/12 rallies, the Glenn Beck rally, an unprecedented amount of people who are getting engaged in the political process for the very first time.
I'm with Michelle Malkin, author of Culture of Corruption, michellemalkin.com, for all those that want to check out her blog. I want to talk about the Republicans. I want to talk about George Soros also. George Soros is really, he seems like he's coming undone. He's talking more about the decline of the dollar. See Glenn Beck talking about that a lot. He's also pumping a lot of money to all these candidates that normally people wouldn't. Secretary of State, obviously it's a very important role, but nobody really talks. What is his strategy there, and do you think the Republicans have what it takes to do what's necessary? You talked about the healthcare legislation. A poll that I saw today from Rasmussen said that 58% of people still want repeal healthcare, which is up from, I believe, 52% about a month ago or a month and a half ago. So it's going back and forth, and it's trending upwards once again. What do you think about those two?
Right. Let's talk about Soros first. Of course, he had a very cunning strategy, statewide strategy, to turn red legislatures, state legislatures, blue, to go after these Secretary of State positions so that they would have progressive friendlies overseeing the election integrity process and policing. And it seemed to have worked, you know, just two short years ago. I live in Colorado, as I mentioned, and they were very successful here. They had a statewide version of their own Media Matters that essentially colluded with much of the left-wing so-called mainstream media to crank out hit pieces against Republican politicians and public figures. They grabbed the state legislature here and the governor's mansion and colluded with other left-wing philanthropists to put friendly radical progressives in Congress. And now Colorado has sort of become the ground zero for, you know, to coin your radio show title, Take Back America. And the right is taking back Colorado here, which makes you question whether how effective their millions were that they poured to turn this purple state blue for a temporary period. Michael Bennett, who I mentioned earlier, the Senate candidate, looks like he will be out of the picture soon, retired, can't come a minute too soon on that. And there's been a realization among some grassroots conservatives that they've got to take some of these Secretary of State positions back. And one of the races that I followed from very early on was the Secretary of State race in Kansas, where Chris Kobach, a former Bush administration Homeland Security official, announced his candidacy, you know, just a short year ago, and his number one agenda item was getting rid of Acorn-style corruption and voter fraud in that state. And it looks like he is well-positioned and poised to win that race tomorrow as well. On healthcare, I would say that it's being repealed on many fronts incrementally. No matter what the Republicans decide to do with regard to full or partial repeal, and certainly even now, there some of the capitulationists are moderating their tone on that. But once again, it's sort of do it yourself, because we had the referendum in Missouri where they repealed the individual mandate earlier this spring. There's something on the ballot here in Colorado tomorrow to repeal the individual mandate, and several other states that have initiative and referenda also have it up for a vote. And then we've got the court battle with many of the state's attorneys general who are fighting on that level as well.
Do you think, one last question, Michelle Malkin, thank you once again for taking time to come out and speak to my audience. Do you feel that the Republicans learned their lesson, or do they need to be fired, another way need to be fired in 2012 when it comes, you know, comes in 2 years? Do they need to pay the Piper Snow, or do they, the establishment of, you know, the John Boehners of the world and others, not that John Boehner is a bad fellow, but he was part of the establishment that kind of took the Republican Party and took the proverbial cliff. Do you feel that they've learned their lesson yet? Have they accepted the fact that the Jim DeMint philosophy is the right philosophy for the party, or do they want to go with the Lindsey Grahams of the world?
That is the key question, isn't it? And after covering the political world for so many years, let's see, I started as a journalist in 1992 at the Los Angeles Daily News, and these same questions were always the key questions at election time. Will the Republican Party revert to being the stupid party, or will they ever learn their lesson? And I think we always have to manage our expectations. This year, however, I think what's exciting is that we have so many candidates on the verge of victory who did not come up through establishment ranks, who are not anointed by the D.C. Republicans, who do not feel beholden to them, and who will join Jim DeMint in paying more than lip service to limited government and constitutional principles. You know, instead of just one or two voices in the Senate, hopefully we'll have seven or eight. Instead of a core group of 20 or 30 in the House, hopefully we'll have double or triple that. And the next time the left starts to yammer about some manufactured crisis, hopefully this core group of these Tea Party insurgents will be able to convince the chicken littles in the Republican Party not to go along with the next trillion-dollar bailout or spending plan. And so I'm far more optimistic this election cycle than I have been in recent memory because of that. And I think that they will be far more accountable, these independent candidates, than we've seen with your mainstream establishment Republicans.
And we've heard anything a million times the past couple of years, it was that it's George Bush's fault. Hopefully the tone will change and the Republicans will say it's not George Bush's fault anymore. You prolonged this, and a lot of the comments have said that we would have been out of this great recession a long time ago because of the way how great our engine, the engine of this economy is. But yet we're still in the near 10% unemployment, and jobs numbers are coming up this week, and we might be beyond that. So Michelle Malkin, author of Culture and Corruption, michellemalkin.com. Thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you.